Welcome to the Original Recipe Group Big Book Step Study. Broadcasting from Newcastle, PA, every Monday night from 7 to 8:30 p.m. Eastern on Zoom.
I'm humbled to be at this meeting tonight. I've never been to this meeting, so sorry for not raising my hand before. I did a little praying before this meeting, and a spot check inventory. I'd be lying to you if I told you I was a little nervous coming to this meeting. 10-step. I had to do a 10-step this morning. You know, Jerry wasn't the center of the universe yesterday, and I had to call a couple of my buddies in the program and do a 10-step this morning on what I was feeling, some self-pity and all that stuff. I have been through this process with a Big Book Step Study sponsor, a loving and merciful God. I've done most of my amends and have a faithful practice of steps 10, 11, and 12 today by the grace of God. I'll briefly qualify the price I paid to come in for a seat in these rooms and what I do to maintain it. I was definitely an alcoholic waiting to happen. Growing up as a kid, I had all the insecurities, the doubts, you know, felt insecure. My insides never matched what I saw on the outsides of others. I had people's opinion problem. So alcohol was an easy thing for me when I finally found it. It started out as an innocent thing and fun thing, and it wound up to be a pathetic nightmare. I was a normal guy drinking with my friends and, you know, getting into trouble at a young age. The first time I got drunk was in Breezy Point, New York. It's the Irish Riviera of New York. It's a gated beach community. And it's the biggest beer drop in the state of New York. They sell the most beer in one community for decades. And I was part of that. So a buddy of mine and I, we walked up to the stores and we asked some guy, well, I don't know, it was around 14, 13. We asked some guy who looked cool. You know, it was about every five guys. We finally catch some guy in his 20s to go in and buy us some beer. He bought us a couple of packs of Schaefer. We got our pack of Marlboro. We had a cassette deck and we went down on the beach and we drank the beer. I drank five cans of Schaefer beer that night. And I didn't have the experience a lot of people have. They said, oh, it was great. Not me. I had to go home. I had to leave my buddy Brian. I went home. I felt sick. I got home and my mother said, what are you doing home so early? I said, I don't feel good. My stomach's bothering me. I went to bed. The room was spinning. And I never felt anything like that before. But the next night, I did the same thing with Brian. We walked up to the stores, got a couple more six packs of Schaefer, a pack of Marlboros, and our cassette deck. And I explained to Brian what happened. And he said, oh, those are the spins. I love them. All you got to do is put your foot on the floor and it stops the spins. And I said, son of a gun, that's what I got to do. And I did it. I got the spins that night. I put my foot on the floor, picked it up, put it down, picked it up. So I learned to enjoy the spins. That was a lot of fun. You know, I grew up in Brooklyn, New York, and in the 70s, I'm a product of the 60s and 70s, the sex, drugs, and rock and roll. And it was out of control, all avenues of that. I did a lot of drinking in the discos, the bars, and the clubs. The cocaine was flowing, the Quaaludes, and the drinking, and a lot of promiscuity was off the charts. And you know, my progression, it got worse. I can remember I recognized I had a problem. I was out of high school, a couple of buddies of mine. We went to go see Monday Night Football. And we all had to go to work the next day. And they all, at halftime, everybody said they're going home. And I said, I'm not going home. And my buddies got mad at me. Go home, go home. You're going to be sick tomorrow. So I'm not going home. And they got so angry at me, I couldn't go home. I had the booze in me. I had to drink some more. And I closed the place that night. So I knew there was a problem then. So my progression got worse. You know, I was able to drink all night at that time and go to work the next day and hurt like a dog, but I wouldn't drink. And there were times I would drink all night and go straight to work, and everything was fine. I can stumble around the store. I worked in a supermarket. All the women used to come to me on a Saturday morning. We used to stamp the cans back then, and they used to come to me, "Jerry, how much is this?" I knew what they were asking. It was probably a can of coffee cost $2.99. I said, "For you, Mrs. Clinton, 59 cents. So I was robbing the store blind, and I shouldn't have been doing that. So I was out of control. To make a long story short, 1978, I was dragged out of bed Christmas Eve by my brother and my father. And they said they had it with me. "You need help." My brother was screaming at me, "You're an alcoholic. You need help." And I was up against the wall and I couldn't get out of it. So they drove me upstate New York to a place called Veritas Villa, where they sent all the New York City Police Department, the Fire Department, and the Con Ed guys, utility guys. I'm 21 years old and I'm in this rehab for six weeks. You know, the holidays and all, you know, I couldn't believe it. But that's where I spent it. But that was the beginning of the end for me. This ruined my drinking. They read How It Works every morning. We read it every night. AA came in every night for 6 weeks. And when you hit a certain plateau, they would take you out to AA meetings. So it ruined my drinking. So after that, I did drink. For the next 2 years, it was nothing but a drunken haze of hospitals, jails, and rehabs. And I was destroying my family. I was still living home. And then finally, in August of 1980, I gave up. I surrendered to AA and I joined my home group, Rockwell Center, Long Island. And I surrendered to that group. I walked in one night, the guys knew me in there. And this guy, Eric, said, "Are you ready to get honest?" And I said, "Yes, I am." So I surrendered to AA that night. And that's open AA. At that time, you know, really, it was all about service. It really wasn't about working this program through the 12 steps. It was all about service, speaker meetings. You know, I did a lot of service, a lot of commitments in the jails and the hospitals in the area. And that's what it was all about. And my life was unmanageable. You know, I got whipped. I got flattened by alcohol. And I had the first part of the first step down. But the second part, my life was totally unmanageable. And I didn't have that down. And I walked around AA for many years with untreated alcoholism. I got my first job in sobriety at a bread company. And I was in the Bakery Drivers Union in New York and the Teamsters. The man who owned it was the godfather of Jewish mafia, Meyer Lansky's right-hand man. And boy, my ego was through the roof. There was 40 guys in the depot, and these guys were all teaching me how to steal, and you know, pad the account. But I didn't do that. I would lie that I was doing it, but I didn't do it. But I did hang out with these guys. I did everything ass backwards in AA back then, and I would go out to the clubs and bars with all these guys. They called out Depot, Ali Baba, and the 40 Thieves. They had a bad reputation. A lot of shady characters I worked with in that business, and I hung out with them. So again, my life was totally unmanageable. I'm sober in AA, and I'm leading a life like this. I was very promiscuous. I had a girlfriend. I had my own apartment. I was making more money than I ever made in my life. A brand new car, and I'm cheating, and I'm, you know, I'm running around like a nut, and. I went to a union meeting in the Bronx, and I'm on my way home back to Long Island, and I'm on the Cross Island Parkway. Some guy cuts me off, and I lost it. My anger was out of control, and this is, you know, my untreated alcoholism. I pinned this guy down on the highway. I cornered him in, and this is the typical me. I would get out of the car, but, you know, in these type of incidences, these road rages, I get out of the car, and I'm not a tough guy. It's just my anger is out of control. I get out of the car, and this guy pulled a gun on me. He put it to my head, said, "They're going to blow my freaking brains out." And I couldn't believe it. I got back in the car, and I said, "God, what is wrong with me? I got a wife and four kids at home. I got, this is later on, I got married and, all that stuff. And I said, what's wrong with me? I didn't know. And again, this is how it was in AA back then. It was just all about service. A week later, a bunch of us went to a conference in New York City. A couple of groups were putting a conference together, and I went, we all went together. And I met some men there. Something was different about these men. And they had a message of depth and weight. And I introduced myself to them. And these men were from upstate New York and had strong ties to our founder, Bill, back in the day. And I introduced myself to them, and I got their numbers, and I got involved with them. And I was ready to embark on a radical change in my thinking and behavior. These men were working the four absolutes, the 10 points, and the 12 steps of the original program of AA. And I got involved with them, and they changed my life. And, I started to work this process with them the way they did it, back then. And, my life was good. I started to work a spiritual life. I started to get away from all those habits that I was doing and that were not good to a spiritual way of life. 1999, I moved from Long Island to Pennsylvania, and with my wife and children, four children. They were young at the time, and they were growing up. And I slowly drifted away from the program. I got involved in my kids' lives. Sports is pretty big in Pennsylvania. You all know that. And my kids got involved in the sports. I got involved in their academics and everything. And I just slowly, slowly drifted away from this program. And I paid a price for it. I paid a dear price. And I had a resentment running in the marriage. My wife developed a drinking problem. And it killed me. I couldn't believe this was going on the way she was drinking. And it was killing me. And I'm running all over, still traveling, 3:30 in the morning, getting up and going to work. I'm a shop steward in the union. A lot of angry guys that I got to deal with all day. And then coming home and then taking my kids to sports. And anyway, this went all the way through my kids. Two of them made it, sports in college. And I was running all over the East Coast with them, from Florida to Boston. I burnt out. And I don't know what happened to me. I was having some pain in my neck. I went to a chiropractor. And he said, Jerry, we were just talking. I want to test you. And I said, okay. And he came back. He says, Jerry, your adrenals are shot. And I couldn't get my head off the pillow at times. I burnt out. I had an adrenal burnout. Because I wasn't working this program, I didn't have God in my life, and I was running on self-will run riot again. And I, that night I came home and laying in the bed about 1:30 in the morning, and I cried out to God. I said, God, what is wrong with me? And I got an intuitive thought to Google an AA speaker meeting. And I'm laying in bed. I don't know where the hell that thought came from. So I got on my phone. I opened up my phone, and I Googled AA speaker meetings. And boom, the first one, I turned it on. This guy told my story. I got convicted there that night in bed that I have to go back to this program. That's the problem. I got a strong message from God. You are neglecting this program. So I went back to AA. I reached out to all the people I knew in New York, all the old timers. And I reached out to those guys from upstate New York. And I found them. They were in Boston. Guys with the same experience as me. And I came back and I got a sponsor, Bill M. And I cried on the phone to him. I took a third step on my knees, crying like a baby. And I got into the Hyannis method, big book step study. I went through the process again. Did my resentments, my fears, my sex conduct. I made all my amends. And now here I come to steps 10, 11, and 12. Bill says, this is our way of life. 1 through 9 is the runway to steps 10, 11, and 12. And this is where we live. And this is where I live today. I got a faithful practice to this steps 10, 11, and 12. And, you know, the ego deflation is all about 1 through 9 to come here. We have to have a level of humility when I come into step 10. And the most profound line in here is that we entered the world of the spirit. And what does that mean? That means that my way of thinking is not going to work anymore. The old way of thinking is not going to work. I have to work this step. You know, when these things crop up, you know, resentment, fear, dishonesty, selfishness, I can't let this linger on like I did in the beginning of my marriage. I wouldn't speak to my wife for 2 weeks. That's not going to work anymore. I got to get rid of this today. I can't build up a lifetime of resentments and fears and sex conduct no more. God is asking me to remove this at once, get on the horn, and discuss it with somebody immediately. And that's what I do today. And then I turn my thoughts to help others, and that's what gets me out of it. So I can't afford this no more. And that's not what God wants me to do. So by the time we reach this step, there should be a level of humility that I'm going to work this step. I can't indulge resentment anymore because it's not going to work for me. So that's what I do. And step 10 clears the channel for step 11. Step 11 starts at night. And when I'm reviewing my day, I'm looking at my step 10. How did I do today? You know, and I answer those questions. How did I do today with my 10th step? And then that clears the channel for me tomorrow morning when I have a part awakening prayer. You know, and I do that every morning. I get on out of bed. I get on my knees. I do my first, second, and third step. And then I go downstairs and do my prayer and meditation. I used to think it was prayer or, no, it's prayer and meditation. I do my prayer and meditation. I say my prayers. I meditate. And that starts my day. And I ask God, I tell him, what do you need me to do for you today? Show me a compassionate action I can do for somebody today. And I'm open. I'm open where if either it's on the highway or the gas station or my job. Just show me where I can be of help to somebody today. And he gives me opportunities every day if I ask him. And now this sets me up for step 12. So step 10 clears the channel for 11, and 11 clears the channel for 12. And that's how I work it today. Like I said, our founder Bill said, this is our way of life now. 1 through 9 is the runway to get here. It's all about ego deflation in 1 through 9. And that's what I needed to do was to, my sponsors brought, you know, they cut my legs out for me and they brought me down the right size where I needed to be by the time I reached step 10. And that's how I practice it today. And I encourage my sponsees, that's how they should practice it too, to call me or call anybody in the program when these things crop up to discuss with somebody immediately. It doesn't have to be, you know, all the time, but if it's something that's bothering you, then it's a good idea to work this step. Again, this way we don't have to build up a lifetime of resentments, fears, and sex conduct anymore. We get rid of this today. And that's what my sponsors taught me, you know, to not let this stuff linger anymore. And I choose not to do that because it cuts me off from the spirit that I'm trying to work today. Now, in the beginning, I was a dismal failure with this. You know, this is a practice. So I have to practice this every day. And I've gotten a lot better at this. You know, I worked at it the first time I went through this with my sponsors upstate. And then this time when I came back, I'm back. I spit in God's eye for giving me that grace and that gift he gave me. And now he graced me again in this program after what I just went through. And now I work this program to the best of my ability. This is the relapse prevention program of 10, 11, and 12. My spiritual, you know, enhancement program these last three steps. So, you know, my life... you know, the adrenal fatigue has gotten a lot better. I am slowly coming out of it. It was a hell of a ride. It was a deep and dark place in my life again. But I, you know, I put myself there by walking away from the program. So, Step 10 is definitely a key to my growth. This is my continuous growth step. And it's such an important part of this program. And again, it opens me up to that step 11, and 11 opens me up to 12. And so I can be of a maximum help to others today because of the grace of God and His Spirit. So I want to thank everybody for allowing me to share in this lovely group tonight. And I've heard a lot about it, and I'm grateful to be here to share with you all. Thank you.